Mr. Winston, reel 16.
Because being just a little extra literate, they asked me, you know, you went in for whatever your first sentence is. I got a very short sentence because the chap on the court martial was a previous lecturer at the School of Economics. I got just a few months. He wouldn't allow them to give me more, but he said he himself would have testified if he weren't judging me. Well, when that's finished, you go back to court martial again and you're sent out. Well, so some of them asked me to write out their statements for them or to help them to. They were so completely inarticulate. Why? The actual nature of their opposition would mystify anybody. They couldn't say why. And yet they stuck. I was 3 years in. They were little more, some of them, with families. Mm. I had a family too.
Clark,
I mean,
had five children.
Yes.
And he lived in a bungalow.
And not only that, but we were mixed up. The common prisoners, I use common in the other sense, are the non-pacifists. They weren't any more common than we were. Well, with us, you see, I was a cleaner. A cleaner is a person who clears away the sewage, the stuff they do, their chambers, and you clear it into the, what do you call it? And that's a high honour. You wear a red band, you see. And they told me why they were in and who were the ordinary prisoners. And I would spend my time, especially the more solitary periods, in thinking out what the life of each of them I knew. I would take one person at a time and try and work out in my own mind what kind of background a chap is, what kind of language he uses, what kind of hopes, you know, work out all these things, and took my time over it because I had plenty of time to do it in. I said, you mustn't hurry because you'll have nothing else to think about, so don't get it over too quickly. And I used to think out each one of my fellow COs why they were pacifists, what reasons they gave me for being pacifist, which isn't always the same thing. And what hopes have they when they're released, if they are ever released, and all that. And So being a little more illiterate, I got to know their thoughts a little more, though you weren't allowed to talk together. It's very funny when I think of it at this moment, although complete silence had to be preserved the whole time. As I think of it, I seem to be in continuous conversation with them. It's very strange, isn't it? I don't think of a moment of silence. I love silence, but I think of their names and their continuous conversation,
murderer,
as if they told me, oh yes, I knew the thieves. Being a cleaner, there were two to be tried for murder, and they were in padded cells, but I was allowed to go in. I hadn't told you about prison. Prison was really a...
Before going to prison, they had to go before a tribunal and restate their case the whole time. Do have some more. Shall I add more?
No, it's fine. Okay.
And they used to have to go into the barracks to which they were attached as soldiers and come before the colonel and the high-ups of the barracks and restate their case why they're COs. Well, one day I came and I was called in to visit, and the their relatives were permitted to go and visit the prisoner, and I found it very dark. It was a very dark room, and just one large sort of table on which they slept and ate and sat at. And there was a man crouching in the dark on this table, and Inka, they were having lunch together. And then afterwards I heard that that man was being tried for murder. And Inka wrote a poem about it.
Yes. I'll show it to you later, yeah. But it's interesting, the...
To sleep beside the murderer, you see.
Another interesting thing, I went a great deal before going to prison, before even going to the tribunal, I think, to a special Quaker meeting, which one of the COs, not COs, he was too old for that, but one of the members of the No Conscription Fellowship, he'd organized it. I went to that, and there was quite people there, that Stephen Hobhouse went, and Herman Old, you don't know the name, do you, Herman Old? He was the founder of the Pen Club, this big authors association, International Pen Club. He and then Horace Shipp, the art critic. We few sat there in silence. You know the Quaker form of worship.
Yes.
You sat in silence. And then Hobhouse came up to me and said, I hope you won't mind me asking you, what did you think about in your silence? I always thought that kind of... I thought silence is a more intimate thing. You don't ask. But still, I said to him, I'll tell you something which will surprise you. I thought of Oscar Wilde all the time. Oh, he said, I'm not absolutely surprised, because he went through it for other reasons. I said, I thought, I almost felt his presence. And when I went to Bedford Prison, there was one warder who was particularly nice to me. You had the whole range of warders, from the one who was doing it as a service to the ex-army officer or ex-army major, sergeant major, who thought of it as another way of using power, bully, and he would do. He had a whole range of them, and this particular one was a father to me. He knew that I wrote in prison, so he would supply an extra number of sheets of toilet paper, because that was the only stuff on which we could write, and forget to take away the pencil which he left on the table. Invariably, I'd have pencil and paper on which to write, because otherwise you only had a slate to write on, and you could only do one poem and rub it off. So I had that accumulating. And one day he said to me, did you write anything today? I didn't get into your cell today. So I said, yes, I'm writing something. I hope it'll take me about a month. That's 6 or 7 lines, you know. So he said, go on with it. And then he said, he looked right and left, he said, there's nobody about, I want to tell you something. He said, do you know I was Oscar Wilde's warder? It's interesting, because I told the story to the professor of English literature at Oxford, Richard Elmond. I told him that, because he's writing about Wilde. So this Crawley was the chap, and he told me all about Wilde, and he said, I'm here because I know that the only thing that's necessary in a prison is some human contact, a humanization, and I feel I can give it. And he conducted the chapel choir and the chapel orchestra and did a lot of singing. He was a darling, and one day when I was at Bedford, there was an air raid. So I said, look here, Crawley, do me a favour. I'm worried. Go round to my wife's place. Claire was staying at Bedford, and see if she's all right. Well, there, Claire got back, and there he was sitting.
I came back one morning, and he sat there. He said, I've come to tell you that your husband is all right, and he's worried about you.
What were you doing during that time?
During the whole time?
During the war, I mean. Were you continuing your art studies, or had you finished with that?
I did a great deal, but what happened was this. When I finished, when I noticed that there is a war on, and it was very serious, that people were not permitted to go on with their studies, I thought I ought to do something. So I went to Gabitas Thring, and I told them I had a trick, and I had a special talent scholarship in art, and I would like to teach during the war so that I can be useful in some way. And they gave me a job in Rumsey, and I went to teach at the boys' public school with boys much older. They thought me a little girl because I was very young looking, and I always had my hair loose, and I was always rather cranky for those days. I wore sandals, and the headmaster had a shock when he saw me, but anyhow, I took a man's job. You see, a chap was a scientist. He went in and did some very important work during the war in the way of science, and I taught. But when I had holidays, I used to go and stay near whichever prison in Galicia, you see. I stayed in a little tiny cottage with just two rooms and a very sweet woman who made her living by making bits of material cut out and made into a wreath to go round hats. And she had what was called homework, and she was paid so much per day, you see.
Did she know that you were the wife of a conscientious
But she was very sweet, very young woman.
They weren't antagonistic.
I never found anybody antagonistic.
Another little incident, Claire, just brings it up, as you were telling this. About the third time I was let out, the second time I got a longer sentence because that chappie wasn't there. I think they gave me 18 months or something. First time they gave me 3 months. 18 months I got. So I grew worse, not better, Claire, you know. I thought they tamed lions there, but the next time they had to give you 18. Anyhow, I came out of this thing, and Claire was at the prison gates, and we walked on, and we had three soldiers with bayonets walking beside us, is it, to lead us to the barracks. The barracks were about a mile and a half away.